Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
This is Chatterbox, video game radio, everybody, pushing pixels before it was cool. I'm your host, Alon. Next to me is Adrian, our mainstream gamer. And behind the glass is Andrew, the expert audio engineer. Thanks all for joining us. If you're listening live, if you're listening podcast, either way, you can find us at chatterboxgameshow.com. You can cut the music, Andrew. I don't need that anymore. Bye, bye, bye. All right, so I found that song on Adrian's...
On my MP3 player.
Yeah, on your Zen thing.
Yeah.
And the first thing that popped up was Bye, Bye, Bye by NSYNC. So y'all
really?
Can send hate mail Adrian's way. Adrian@chatterboxgameshow.com is
that
his email address. The first thing that popped up. It's not there anymore. I was watching The Simpsons.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so like I said, this is Chatterbox. We're ready for a great show today. Before we start, I want to point out what's going to happen next week, because, of course, that's more important than this week. Chris Grant, he was on here last week, actually, with us, talking about E3 and all the E3 hardware news and stuff. He's actually from Joystick, I believe... Pretty soon, I don't know if it's already happened, he's promoting himself or getting promoted within Joystick to the managing editor position. So he's the head honcho now, or will be very soon.
Can I promote myself?
No.
I want to be like assistant god?
Yeah, you could do that.
Okay.
No, it's Vladimir Kohl, I guess, has that position now, but he's leaving, at least temporarily, and Chris is going to take over. So we're going to have him on to talk about blogging, the importance of bloggers in modern media and all that. And certainly, I've always talked about Joystick as one of my favorite gaming blogs. So we're happy to have him with us, and he'll be here next week. And it was a good time last week. I think everybody thought last week was a good show. So anyway, come by next week, and we're going to be on same bat time, same bat channel. What other news did I have? This is the news. I told you, Adrian, that I had some news that I didn't want to tell you off the air, but here's what happened. Some of you may remember the Chatterbox Treasure Box show from PAX. It was recorded live at the Penny Arcade Expo last August, when Nate and I were down there. We did the Jeopardy-style trivia show, and it went over really, really well over there. It even got on the PAX DVD. I don't know if anyone's seen it, but it did. And so I called up Mike from Penny Arcade, not Mike, Gabe Mike, but the business guy Mike, and I said, hey, the Chatterbox Treasure Box went over really well last year. You should let me bring it back. What do you think about making it an official part of PAX? He's like, yeah, let's do it. Give you a theater even. So we have the small theater. Don't need the big one. Just the small one, 400-person seating. We're going to get some contestants live at PAX. I'm trying to think of a way to determine who a good contestant would be, at least get one contestant ahead of time. So maybe if a Chatterbox listener is planning on going to the Penny Arcade Expo in August, and you can prove to me that you're worthy of being a contestant, we plan on having lots of prizes like we did last year, so it would be worth your while to join us
if
and be on the game show.
If you're a Chatterbox listener, you should get priority.
You should.
Because you're hardcore.
But you have to be going to PAX.
Yes.
That's sort of a prerequisite. And you also have to know your stuff, because we ask a lot of tough questions. By we, I mean me, because of course I'll be emceeing the event.
Questions I don't know the answer to.
Questions you would not know the answer
to.
Okay. Because I don't ask about Madden 2005 or 6. So.
Joe Montana football.
anyway, so if you want to email me and try to prove your worth, maybe we'll come up with a way. Maybe we can do a mini game show on the air. With a few contestants to try and weed out one to come do the Chatterbox Treasure Box at Penny Arcade Expo 2006. It's going to be awesome. Projector and hundreds of people and prizes and giveaways to the audience. Even if you're not on stage, you can still win stuff. So
you're going to prepare yourself more than you did for this show?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm super excited about it. It's going to be on the program, Penny Arcade Expo. We're moving up.
We're big time.
Moving up. See, you need the Jeffersons music, Andrew. Moving on up. I don't know the music.
To the east side?
He's not ready. Okay, so let's talk about some games. As always, want to start off the show with what we've been playing. I had you, but right before the show, Adrian, try Lemmings on the PSP. Totally ruined it for me, by the way, by turning the power off because it was a shared demo from E3.
Did you tell me that?
I had it sitting on my PSP for a whole week.
Did you tell me
that? It was not disturbed. I handed it over. I'm like, here, play this. You give it back to me, gone.
Did you tell me don't turn it off?
No.
Why would I know not to turn it off? If you didn't tell me, don't turn it off. And I've already apologized for this. I didn't mean to do it. I just was trying to be nice. I was done playing with it. Turned it off. Handed it back to you.
The bottom line, I hurt. You screwed me.
I did screw you.
I can no longer play the demo that I downloaded E3. There's nothing good to play on the PSP anyway. Might as well play the demo I downloaded. And luckily, I tried it before we got into the studio. And it was really hard. I couldn't even beat the first level. So I got to say, though, like, I played a lot of Lemmings back in the day when it was the big thing. And it's actually, like, a really good version of it. It's on the PSP, and, you know, not having mouse control is a little bit weird, but the D-pad works fine. But the graphics are nice. The presentation's cool. Don't see a whole lot of it in the demo, but you do see enough. Absurdly difficult, because I still couldn't figure out the first level. But I liked it. And so I hear it actually came out this week. I haven't officially checked. But if anyone wants a good PSP game, I think Lemmings is one of the better titles just in the history of gaming. It's been a fun game. And so if you're looking for a good one, it would probably bring you a good time as long as you like puzzle games.
And if you have the demo, don't turn off your PSP.
Yeah. Normal PSP owners would know that, of course, unless they give it to their friends.
I don't own a PSP.
All right.
I own a DS.
Yeah, good. I don't even own a DS. Hopefully I'll get the light. I want pink. Bring out pink. Anyway.
Why does that not surprise me?
Yeah. Well, listen, people keep asking me, why do you want pink? And think about it. Why do girls wear pink?
I know why you want pink.
Tell me why girls wear pink, Adrian. You've been with plenty of girls. You know.
Girls like pink because they're supposed to.
Girls wear pink because guys like pink. That's why. And I like pink. So when I look at my DS Lite, oh, there's my baby. There she is. My little one. Open up.
Are you going to name it?
Open up. Give me a kiss. She's already named, dude. Sheila. Because it's got she in the name. Isn't that the name of the tank in the Red versus Blue? I don't know what it is.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Is it named Sheila? All right. I guess I can't use that then. But Sheila sounds good. Anyway, so that's the news. Upcoming shows. We're going to have Chris next week. I'm going to be at the Penny Arcade Expo putting on the Chatterbox Treasure Box. You can win stuff, so make sure you get down there. I've been playing Lemmings. I'm trying to wrap this up. But we've got a couple minutes. Maybe I don't need to do that.
And no one's calling.
Well, we haven't even given out the phone number. 866-536-1100. As long as you're listening live, you can call us in the studio. It's 866-536-1100. So the question I've got for you today that I want you to call in and respond to, there's been a lot of talk down about Sony and their E3 shenanigans again, bringing out an absurd price. And we talked about that a little bit last week. But since last week, Immersion Technologies, or whatever their official company name is, the people who sued Sony for using Rumble in their controller, and they sued Microsoft too, but Microsoft caved and gave them a bunch of money. Sony is now appealing that they lost, basically, because they don't want to pay the $90 million because they're bastards. And so Immersion came to them and said, oh, you know what? You claim that the reason you took out the Rumble is because it won't work with the tilt technology and stuff. So we'll show you how to do it. We've already put it together. We tried it. We found solutions. So if you drop your appeal, which was rightfully won by us, and you owe us the $90 million, we'll show you how to do it free of charge. We will show you how to get your controller working. So I'm wondering what you think. Do you think that Sony is full of it when it comes to removing the Rumble? You think they're lying, or everybody is right about the reason them not having Rumble is the fact that they lost the lawsuit? So give us a call, 866-536-1100, here at the radio studio. We want to hear from you, because I think they're completely full of crap. Totally full of it. And this is something we're going to talk about later in the show. I'm wondering how people really feel about being lied to by all the companies, because I think it's gotten to the point where we've started to accept it.
You know a company's going to lie to you. And, of course, they pulled it out because they lost the lawsuit. You can make it work. You can figure something out.
You think that Sony, with all their years of engineering experience and all their industrial design, you really think they could have come up with a simple solution to the Rumble and the Tilt in the same controller? I would have thought that it was too crazy a solution. Nintendo did it in their controller, but they're magicians.
Yeah, they're magic, and Sony's not stealing the idea of having a controller that actually moves. They didn't steal that from Nintendo.
No. And well,
are you finally admitting that Sony is just as big of an evil empire as Microsoft is?
When did I not admit this?
No,
Sony's the worst.
A few weeks ago, you were saying you felt dirty playing Microsoft because you were the demographic.
Oh, yeah. No, I have to wash my hands after playing a Sony system, too.
Okay.
Listen, they're all the same. Nintendo's the only one that I've given carte blanche to do whatever they want.
Because you're a fanboy.
Well, because they've never done me wrong. Until recently, with a Wii controller. Right now they've lost my faithful graces. But Microsoft, the good thing about Microsoft, they at least learn from their lessons. They learn, they take heed, and they pay attention to the public. And Sony, you know, back in the day, they had there was VHS. They brought out Betamax. They lost. Why? Because they were Sony, and they were restrictive, and, you know, it would have cost more money for everybody, and they placed all these rules on it.
Porn.
Right, porn. And they did learn that lesson. They let the porn on the PSP. It still didn't save the UMD media, but they're not learning with the Blu-ray, and they're not learning with the price of technology, with the system being $600. They're just not... I shouldn't say that, because I talked about why I think the $600 price tag is good, or might be good for them. But we got to wait and see. In a year, maybe I'll be complaining about it, maybe not. Depends how they move. But we're going to come back in a few minutes. We're going to talk about whether or not you really feel lied to. I think we have, and Adrian and I are going to talk about that a little bit more. Also want to talk about a little bit of blogging, editorializing. Also wondering what we're looking for in games these days. So all these topics going to be covered, and more.
With you.
Yes, 866-536-1100. We will be back right after these messages. I don't know. People on the forums here, or not on the forums, on the live chat.
If they're on the live chat and you have a problem with me, call me. Tell me what your problem is with me.
They say die. Do we have more people? If you're listening to the show and you're not in the IRC chat, you can go to our website, chatterboxgameshow.com. Click on the Chatterbox live chat. I forget what the menu button says, but you'll figure it out. And it'll take you to the live chat right there. We've got a bunch of people in there now. Anyway, this is Chatterbox, in case you didn't realize that. You're listening live in Phoenix on the radio. 1100 a.m. Chatterbox Video Game Radio. So the topic I want to cover now, and you should still be calling it at 866-536-1100. Tell me if you feel lied and duped to all the time by these video game companies. The topic I want to talk to is just that. If you feel basically like you're getting the tail end of the stick. Is that the right terminology?
I think that's a good way to put it.
Okay, I don't, because I don't know what it means. But are you getting the shaft? Are we being duped all the time? Because, like, there's all this... I'm afraid to even ask for an interview with some bigwig, because it would just be a waste of my time. Like, they would just give me the PR spin. If I got Reggie on the line right now from Nintendo, oh, the Wii's great. I love the Wii name. Look at this controller. It's amazing. And I'd be like, well, what about the fact that it doesn't do what you said it did? And what about the fact that you're basically not really expanding the market, you're just shifting it? And what about this? And he'd be like, no, let me tell you why it's great. Anyway, apparently we've got a caller who's ready to, I hope, agree with me, but we'll find out. Muhammad, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hey there. What do you have to say to me?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Sony's full of crap.
Full of crap?
But is it just Sony, or is every major corporation full of crap?
Well, let him get his point out first. Sony because of the Rumble thing, right? Or is there something else?
Yeah, it's because of the Rumble thing. I mean, Nintendo did it. How come Sony can't?
Yeah, well, that's how I feel, right? But now Adrian's asking an even more valid point. Like, is this the only time you felt it? Like, okay, Sony, full of crap about the Rumble thing. It seems pretty obvious. $90 million, or take the Rumble feature out. I think it's a bad idea to take the Rumble feature out, but whatever. They're going to lose their appeal, so you might as well stick it in there. But what about Microsoft and Nintendo? How do you feel about Nintendo saying that you're going to have full recognition on the Wii controller when you clearly don't?
Well, I haven't really played the Wii yet, but I don't know. I guess I'll have to play it, in my opinion on it. But,
all right. We can barely hear you, Muhammad. Did you take your face away from the phone?
Oh, sorry about that. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, not really. I think we might end the call because we can't really hear you, but thanks for calling in, Muhammad. Listen, his point is that he's agreeing with me, and ultimately that's all that really matters.
Yes, they took it out because they lost the appeal, and they don't want to keep...
They're appealing because they lost the original
thing. Well, they lost the original, yes. And they don't want to make it worse and owe them more money by leaving it in there. And yeah, they should come out and be like, you know what, fine, we'll give you $90 million just for that technology. Maybe not admit it, but backdoor it somehow. I know we keep talking about the shaft and now everything else. I'm not trying to go dirty or anything, but...
Good going, Adrian.
Are they still telling me to die?
No, well, I'm not. See, I got to look at my notes.
Okay.
I can't pay attention to the IRC the whole time.
All right.
But I'm sure they will. You won't be left in the cold. But so, okay, so here's one example of Sony giving people the shaft, because basically, I don't understand it. They've got so much money, and they stand to earn so much if they can just get the good faith of the public. And they're not, with their high price tag of the system. And I still feel like that might be okay. And we got to wait 6 or 12 months to see if, you know, they change their tune and drop the price before next Christmas. Because right now people are going to buy it, whether it's $600 or $1,000. So, but they don't seem to be, they're sticking it to gamers, right? They don't just say, yeah, it's $600, you know. It's a big price, we know, but you'll love it. They're saying it's $600. It should be cheaper. You guys are going to buy it anyway, you fools. Like, that's really the image they're putting out when Kutaragi or whatever his name is gets on. I think it's Kaz. I can never remember. Kaz Harai or Ken Kutaragi gets on the press and is like, no, listen, $600, we could charge you $1,000 and you guys would buy it because you're going to love it. You're going to buy it and you're going to love it.
Well, how much is a Blu-ray player right now?
There aren't any.
Well,
that's
yeah,
why it's
but,
so expensive.
Yeah. So, I could be wrong, but wasn't the PlayStation 2 a lot higher than everybody's like, oh, well, it plays DVDs, so...
No, it was $300. They set that standard with the original PlayStation, thanks.
Was the original PlayStation 3?
Yeah. The original PlayStation was $300, which they decided was okay to do, I guess because the Saturn at that time started at $400. And so they put it at $300, sort of pissed me off, because that's a lot to pay for a system when you're used to paying two. And now Microsoft went and they pushed the reasonable price up to $400. Don't know how they did it, but they managed. I guess with inflation, kids are saving more money than ever with their paper routes. Sony comes along, $600. And like I said, it's because of the eBay thing and they have no supply, they could do $600. But they should be apologetic about it. They shouldn't be shoving it down our throats like they are. But I'm more pissed off about the straight-up lying. I want to get back on topic. All right, straight-out lying, I think, about the Rumble feature. It's pretty clear that it's possible to do. And they're full of, well... it. And Nintendo's telling us, oh, you've got full recognition with the controller. It's fantastic. And I call shenanigans on them. That's bull, because you don't, and you can't make all the games that I thought would be wonderful on the Wii. Microsoft is not free from this. We all know Microsoft is a large evil corporation that just produces a good video game system. I mean, they talk about high-definition games, and the truth is that, you know, in their first batch of games, people were looking at it and realizing that even, like, Project Gotham 3 was the example. It's not produced in high def at all, but they have a video encoder that takes whatever you give it, and it spits out high def. The game's not really produced in high def. So, like, you could take an old cartoon from the 70s and make it high definition by displaying enough lines, right? And so they're sort of lying about the high def era as well. And I'm sure there's a couple other things I could come up with given enough time. So none of them are free from my rage.
Why are you surprised about this?
See, this is my problem, that I'm not surprised, that we've gotten used to it and we've become accepting of this PR, the spin they put out there to get us to agree with their lies. And it's like, I want a corporation to just be straightforward. Like I've always been. This show, like you call up, ask me a question, I will tell you the truth, unless I can't. I will tell you the truth about whatever it is. I don't skirt around the issue. I don't like pretend that I know what I'm talking about, because we all know that I don't. I'm pretty straightforward about this stuff. I'll tell you that Andrew goes on to our Wikipedia page and falsifies information, just throws out fake stuff there.
World-renowned.
Yeah, world-renowned audio engineer. I come out with this stuff because you need to know. You earned it. You're a shareholder in this program because you listen every show, and you deserve it.
But what would we lie about?
Listen... I'm trying to put us on a pedestal.
Okay.
What would we lie about?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Maybe I could come up with a few things. But I want to hear what more people think. So I'm going to give out the phone number one more time. Maybe you'll we'll have this tsunami of phone calls. 866-536-1100. I certainly feel upset about all the spinning, and I wish we would have a little bit more clarity from the people up top. I don't want to do an interview with a guy who's just going to give me the spin. I got an email a long time ago from Nintendo saying, hey, do you want to have this famous soccer player on because Super Mario Strikers is coming out and we want to have all sorts of interviews. And I saw him on Fox, or I think I saw him on MSNBC. That's what it was. And he was on with some suited up anchor guy interviewing him. So what's your favorite game? Oh, it's Super Mario Strikers. Of course. Play it every day. It's like, because he's been playing it every day this week so we can talk about it. It's definitely my favorite game. And it's just stuff like that. I mean, that's promotions. I could even let that slide. But the flat-out lies, I don't need that.
Well,
come on.
It's defend them. They're not lying, though. They are, but they're not. They're coming out, and if you can justify it in your own mind, you're not really lying. They took it out because they couldn't get it to work.
Do you believe that?
No, I don't. No. They took it out because... But that's what they're going to say. No, we took it out because we couldn't get it to work. Well, how come you couldn't get it to work? Oh, we didn't want it to.
Yeah, oh, we tried it once. The controller exploded. That's what the gyros, they fell off of the board. It was crazy. All right, we're going to be back with a totally new topic, talking about what we actually look for in games these days. We'll be back.
Hey, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
We're back again. Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Alon. We've got Adrian, the mainstream gamer.
We really need to webcast this just so people could see your reactions right before you start talking.
You want us to put on a webcam?
Because that was hilarious.
All right. And we've got Andrew, the expert audio engineer behind that glass.
World-renowned
running
Andrew.
The show. Yes. Running the show on Wikipedia right now. Putting a big picture of a sausage on in front of my name. Thank you, Andrew. All right. So here's what I want to talk about this segment. All sorts of stuff has been happening lately. We've been talking about the hardware. The new Wii is coming out, Nintendo's, you know, revolution system. And Sony, obviously, with their PS3. Microsoft, they're the only ones talking about the software and the new services. Well, Nintendo sort of talked about the services with their Wii, but basically it's all about the hardware with them. Microsoft says, we've got games, we've got Live Anywhere, we've got Vista. It's all about what you're actually going to be playing. But they're really the only ones. So I want to talk about what we're looking for in these games, because all we've been talking about is the hardware. And in my opinion, and it should be your opinion too, because I'm right, the hardware is simply there to serve our needs of the software, right? So if you can come up with a good game, you don't need good hardware. By what I mean is better hardware. Like to play the new Tetris, we could play any new Tetris concept you come out with on the Xbox. On a Super Nintendo, like maybe it had better music on an optical media system than the Super Nintendo.
Come on, you want higher resolution. You want each box right. to be 1,000 pixels.
The 3D look could help. Even some physics in a Tetris game with exploding blocks or something. Right? I could understand that. But essentially, you get that game experience on anything, in a Game Boy, right? And so the new hardware should cater to the needs of the software. So what are we getting with the PS3 and the Xbox 360 and the Wii? All right, so this is where Nintendo is doing something right. They're saying, listen, our system, the GameCube, can already do everything we want it to do. Right? Graphically, power horse-wise, like it can do what we want, but we need to give you something fun. We're going to come up with a new system with a new concept. You're going to get something new out of this. They said the best way to do that, or to make the biggest impact, I don't know exactly what their impetus is here, but they decided that the way they wanted to go was to give you a new way of playing games, a new experience. And I love that. I love the idea of having this alternative input. It's fantastic. That's totally what I'm into. I wish they didn't screw it up, but let's forgo that and agree that at least they're trying to do something good. That's great. Sony, on the other hand, releasing this system, all right, they put in the tilt control at the last minute, pissed off some developers by not telling them more than 2 weeks before E3. But they're just releasing a system with more horsepower. And so we can debate how that's actually going to help gaming. They did include a lot more network functionality. Of course, they could have done that with the PS2 if they'd thought about it ahead of time. And then, of course, Microsoft. They're constantly doing some more things with Live, and that's cool, and I appreciate it. Of course, they did that on the Xbox already. So, like, I want to know what reason do we have to get these new systems. Of course, the reason is that they're shoving it down our throat, and to play the new games, we need the new systems. But what reason do they really have to be releasing the new systems other than to appeal to our lust for graphics, right? And I would claim, you weren't really around, Adrian, before when I was talking about physics being the next big step. And I really feel like physics are the next big thing to make gaming new and fresh without going, you know, the way of the Wii with the new alternative inputs. But let's look at the history. Start off, let's say, you start off with the Atari 2600. That's where I started gaming, right? You had an Atari 2600, right?
Yeah.
All right, so you remember, pretty simple stuff. Couldn't do a whole lot conceptually, wasn't a lot to do, but you could play some Tank Wars. You could go Berserk, you know, played some Defender, some Pac-Man, even though it's crap Pac-Man, but you could. You move up to the Nintendo. You get a lot more realism, a lot more, like, you can see what's actually going on. You can come up with stories that are large. Zelda was, you know, huge for the time. And then you move up to Super Nintendo. Now, what does Super Nintendo add? Basically, it was a refined version of the original. And I've always, well, for several years anyway, said that the generations of systems, they come in, like, in pairs. You get the 8-bit and the 16-bit. So you've got the Nintendo, Super Nintendo. Super Nintendo, basically, really good version of the Nintendo. And then you've got this leap in technology. The PlayStation and the Nintendo 64 and the Saturn come out. You get all this 3D stuff. They did a little bit of 3D with the Super Nintendo, but basically 3D happens on the PlayStation. And then you come up with the PlayStation 2. It's a refined version of that concept. Because the original, okay, testing the waters. They're doing some good stuff with 3D. And then they've got really good version of it with the PlayStation 2 and the Xbox, same generation, right? Even the Dreamcast, refined version of the 3D hardware. And now we're making this jump. This next generation jump, PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, the Wii isn't really doing that, but we've got this new generation with all this extra horsepower. What are we going to do with it? And so I claim physics. I want a lot of realism. I want all sorts of games that make use of real physics, because that introduces a new type of experience to me, because we haven't really had that a lot, or at least not done very well in the past. But now with the cell processor and the multi-processors, the several different processors on the 360, we could devote a lot of power to the physics. Unfortunately, I don't see the companies actually touting that as a big feature. They should, but they don't. The only one doing that is the company who's trying to make a dedicated physics card, Aegea. Adrian, in case you weren't aware, they're really pushing their physics card. And so they're the only ones who get it, but these other video game companies, Microsoft and Sony, don't seem to think that that's where they're going. So basically they're saying, all right, here's the third generation of just refined 3D graphics. And I see that as very poor sportsmanship. I don't need that. You know, I already have the Xbox. I already have the PS2, and they do just fine. Sure, I like great graphics, but I don't like $400 worth of great graphics. I don't like $600 worth of great graphics. And if it can play a Blu-ray movie, you know what? DVDs are good enough for me, too. I don't need to spend all this money on new hardware and new wiring and, you know, new controllers and network adapters and memory card readers if I get the crappy version of the PS3. Like, I don't need that. I want the games. And the truth is, I don't see them coming out with a lot of new interesting stuff that they couldn't have done. The real interesting stuff tends to be pretty simple. We all remember Katamari. Did you ever play Katamari Damacy?
I never got to play it.
All right. Let's pretend you're not the mainstream gamer, and you played Katamari Damacy.
I've always wanted to play it. I've seen it. I've seen demos. I know what it is, and I think it's a cool idea.
I think what you need to do is take a break from your family, come over to Camp Alon, stay at my house for a week. I've got an extra room. It's empty. We'll put an air mattress down.
Are you seducing me?
I'm telling you there's an extra room. I'm going to sleep in my own room. All right? But Camp Alon is open to anyone who wants to try out all the games of, you know, today. And other than Madden, and you will learn,
because you know that's the only game I can beat you at.
Yeah. So you probably beat me at Grand Theft Auto if there was some sort of competition.
Okay. Until
you get to the DDR version of the game. So what am I saying? You need to come over to Camp Alon and play some real games and see that stuff like Katamari, you could have done that on a PlayStation. In fact, I mean, they did it on the PSP. Although that's more powerful than PlayStation, but you get it.
No, Katamari you could have done on the regular Nintendo if you really wanted to. The only problem with it is the control aspect of it on a regular Nintendo would have been a lot more difficult because you don't have...
Yeah, the analogs.
Yeah.
But, I mean, on the original PlayStation, certainly could have done it. And in 3D. Wouldn't have had a problem there. And the truth is that a lot of the great gaming experiences that I'm having these days... You know, Guitar Hero totally could be done on PlayStation. And wow, I almost won a show without mentioning it. Our forums, can you go a show without it? I was going to try. So, like, you could do Guitar Hero on the PlayStation. I mean, they had Guitar Freaks on it, same thing. And all these great games, you don't need these advanced graphics for. And I don't see anything coming out for the new systems that says, oh, wow, I really need the new system for that.
Well, what I'm hoping they do is there will be a game that is completely open-ended and... With the graphics, it's like, okay, I can put a bomb on this wall and blow it up and make my entrance into the first, this, because I'm playing a first-person shooter or whatever. That's what I'm hoping for. They haven't done it yet because all the games that I'm playing are, I could have played the exact same game with a little bit less graphics on my Xbox.
You know what we're doing here? It took me 10 minutes when I asked the question, what kind of games are we looking for? Now you're actually answering that. Keep going.
But that's what I want, something that's completely open-ended. That it's the best way I can think about it is, like, I remember on a past show, you guys were talking about Far Cry. And the co-host at the time, I don't remember who it was, said if I went down this beach and just bum-rushed them, I probably would have died, but I could have done it that way. Or I could have sneaked up in these bushes, or I could have done this, or I could have done this. The more options I get to try to do something in a game, the better the game is going to be for me. Because it gives me more replay time, because I'm like, I can just go be a sniper this entire game. Not kill anybody with machine gun, just snipe them. Or
you're describing Hitman, I think. Really, multiple ways to do the same thing.
Yeah, but not just that. I want Grand Theft Auto like that, where you don't have to do this mission, or you can, instead of just beating up prostitutes, I can now become a drug dealer and stand on the corner. Whatever.
That has been a long time goal for you, huh?
Yeah. Well, that's what I do. That's my full time job. No, just whatever I want. Just completely open-endedness.
Basically, what you're looking for is realism, and physics comes into play.
Physics definitely comes into that. Because
make it real.
Right now I'm playing Ghost Recon, and it's pissing me off that I can't go in any of the buildings and climb up a window to snipe people. It's pissing me off that in the campaign mode, the multiplayer campaign mode, I can't do that. Where in real life would I not be able to shoot the door and... or break down the door? Why can't I do that? And that's where I'm getting annoyed, and that's where I'm hoping the next generation of games will come in.
I agree with you completely, and that's why I think physics is so important, because if you can get physics running on the system, just like in the back end behind all the rest of the game, it means that, oh, look, you can do all this stuff. Because if you can make your character able to jump onto a wall, thanks to physics, right, and fall off and whatever, great, and it opens up all these other extensions of gameplay. And we're going to talk more about this, and we've got a caller waiting. We're going to get to him. Feel free to call us yourself, 866-536-1100. Toll free in North America, above Texas, north of Texas. We'll be back right after these. Once again, we're back. Chatterbox Video Game Radio. I want to remind you, by the way, that if you're like me, if you want to get into the video game industry, if you're interested in producing games, you should go to uat.edu. That's the University of Advanced Technology. And, you know, it's a school. I went there. So did good old Notorious V.I.G., previous host on the Chatterbox Video Game Radio show.
Didn't most the previous hosts?
Yeah, everybody.
Except for me?
Except for you. Has been a part of UAT. Anyway, but of course I graduated, I'm done, and now I've got this here radio show. That's what can happen if you go to UAT. So anyway, you and I, we had an interesting discussion over the break, and before we go back into that, I want to bring on the caller. This is Richard, right? Richard from Illinois.
Yes.
You're on the air. Tell me what you wanted to say.
One thing, like you were saying, you think like physics is going to be like the next big thing in games, like what's going to make... Well, the next generation, like, I kind of agree, but I think it's still going to be, you know, gameplay. I mean, you can still have Katamari Damacy, which has really nothing to do with physics. I mean, obviously it's a physical world, but, like, there are three-dimensional virtual physics. Anyway, like, it doesn't, like, it's not consistent with real physics. And, like, I don't know, I think gameplay and how physics is implemented, maybe, is more important, because anybody can put, oh, we use a Havok physics engine and like it can do this, and oh, you can throw stuff around and gravity's perfect, but like just having physics, I don't think is like the next big thing. It's just how you use it. Like you can use specific parts of a Havok physics engine towards your game, I don't know exactly what I'm saying, but
all right, now here I'm gonna clarify this. First of all, when I said that physics is the next big thing, what I mean is it should be the next big thing. I'm worried that it won't be.
Okay.
But we're gonna talk about this some more, and after Adrian and I spoke during the break, you're gonna see why physics could be so great. And obviously, when the next big thing happens, right, 3D came around, there were still some 2D games. They were still great. And great new ideas will still happen, not necessarily using what becomes like the de facto standard. I'm saying that if and when true physics hits the majority of games, it's going to be required at that point in order to become accepted. Like, the community will be like, what? I can't move this box? Why is it just standing on the ground? I can't move it? What the hell is that all about? And so that's what I mean. And we're going to talk about that in a second. Thank you for calling. And so here's what I mean with a little more expression for you listeners. We were talking about, like, making a world that had, I mean, not necessarily everything, real-world physics, but a lot of it. So I'm walking around, and Adrian says, you're playing GRAW, right? The 360 version of Ghost Recon.
Yeah.
Right? And you can't go into these buildings.
Yep.
Right? That's upsetting. Now, I can understand that. You should be able to shoot the door down. Right, can then get in the building and then use your grenade launcher and shoot something. You should be able to use that grenade launcher, shoot a window, have the window hole get bigger so you can get into the friggin' thing. That would make it much better. And I, you know how, like, Counter-Strike became really big? For some reason, people liked that game a lot, maybe because of the fast pace, maybe because it was just a really good game. I mean, people decided that was a great game, and there's still people playing. Well, they're probably not playing the original one anymore because it was upgraded to this, you know, CS2 or whatever. But, essentially, they're playing the same game, and they have been for like the last 10 years or something ridiculous, because it's a really good game. And so I think the company that comes along that produces a game that has qualified physics, something that's actually good and useful, where you can break whatever wall is there, and it does it in a realistic way so that you can get into these buildings. and your complaint here, Adrian, is that, well, you might end up seeing a whole lot of buildings that look exactly the same on the inside.
No, I'm not just on the inside, though. Just, it's going to take a... Because they're not going to want to map 20 different buildings on one level. They're not going to want to map the inside on... So, they might do two, and then they're all going to look the same when you get on the inside.
Well, luckily, there's some clever programming tricks. And I was thinking, like, you could have pictures on the wall, and you could have some, like, EA with Spore... Will Wright's making this game where all the content in the game is basically developed by other users that were downloaded into your game by EA servers, right? Someone plays their game with their alien race, right? That gets uploaded to EA servers, and some other guy plays, and when he goes to a planet, he sees the planet that was created by this other player, even though it's not live with two people in the same game. Like, the content was downloaded. And so you could do that. I mean, people could upload paintings or whatever. You'd inevitably have a bunch of penises on paintings, but I mean, you could do that, and you have a lot of randomization in the buildings. Either way, though, even if it was all just white walls with basically the architecture of the building, I would be so excited to play that sort of game.
Yeah, and just think about it. You walk into a kitchen, they could have Taco Bell or something on the thing. So it just makes product placement a little bit easier in the game and less in your face.
All of those paintings are really ads for Taco Bell, because that's what I put up in my living room, are ads for Taco Bell.
I'd say the paintings. You could walk in. There's a TV commercial on that is promoting a television network, and in the back there's just KFC. Yeah. There's a couple eating KFC.
Yeah, you could have a bunch of like Chinese takeout advertising Panda Express left on the coffee table of some building that you just blew a hole in the wall of. Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
But you'd want to have the buildings at least look a little bit different, because if I break into a building and then I die, I don't want to then be in another building and be like, oh, is this the same place I was? So it has to be somewhat different, because my house looks different than your house.
No, you're right. That's a good point. It would get a little bit confusing. They all look the same. But certainly I think a fully physical world where you can break stuff, move stuff. Like, if I need to get up into a second story window and I can't. But in games, apparently crates always exist in the real world, right? You could move a crate, a barrel, whatever. Like, Half-Life 2 does a pretty good job with this, because they're trying to make a good physical world. They understand that it's important to have, right? You could take a crate and another crate and another crate and build stairs out of them. Fantastic. And you know why? Because the character can jump, right? I don't want any of these games that don't let my character jump or climb. That's bull, right? But if I can move stuff and then I can get into the window because I jumped high enough, great. I think that's fantastic. And it totally opens up new types of gameplay. Not necessarily new types, but new realism in it. And I'm not necessarily the guy to say that realism is all that's important in gaming. But if you can accomplish it, that's going to be the next big thing. That's going to be the Counter-Strike, the next whatever game it is that people play for 10 years because it broke such a mold. It did something amazing, and people stayed with it for years because it's such a good game.
Realism in games is important in games that are supposed to be realistic. If I'm playing Madden, I want it to be realistic. If I'm playing Ghost Recon, I want it to be realistic. I don't want it to look like old Mario. I don't want it so I can't move anything. I want it to be realistic. If I'm playing... I can't even think of it. Yeah.
You know what game I don't want to be realistic? This is what you're trying to come up with. Jenna Jameson's virtual whatever. Don't want it to be real because she would just kick my ass out.
Yeah.
Right? I don't need realism there. I need to have the 10 inches she needs, and I need to be, you know, in a world where she would accept me. And that would be fantastic. But you're right. You know, the Counter-Strike, I want real physics. Ghost Recon, need it. Even puzzle games. Like, fine, fake world where blocks fall from the sky, great, but they should do it really well. And that would be great. Now listen, it's the end of the show. I'm so glad you guys all stayed with us. If you haven't already been there, go to chatterboxgameshow.com. You can just go to chatterboxers.com. That's our new URL. Next week, we're going to be back. We're going to have Chris Grant from Joystick, and I'm going to talk to him about an article that Vladimir Kol wrote on Joystick recently. I didn't get to it this week. He apparently doesn't think that people who are in the media, gaming media, should be able to express opinion. And I have a difference of opinion there. I would like to express mine. So we're going to talk about that and a whole lot of other things next week with Chris Grant. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Go to chatterboxgameshow.com. Don't forget to go to uat.edu to get into the games industry. We'll be back next week.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.